Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, you know, one of the greatest examples I can think of the one new man is not the people trying to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Not in the political arena, but when Jew and Muslim have encounters with the living God and become one in Messiah. My guest, Steve Hill, senior pastor at Heartland World Ministries Church in Dallas, Texas. Steve, have you had much experience with Muslims coming to the Lord?
As a matter of fact, I have. Muslims, Hindus, not only here in Dallas, Fort Worth, but all around the world. And it's because of the miracles, Sid. It's because of the miracles. When Jesus shows up, religion disappears. Okay, when the power of God comes down and people see, I mean, look all through the Old Testament. That's when the power of God came down, it divided the people. You saw who was for God and who wasn't. And so I watch this all the time here in Dallas, Fort Worth. People come out of curiosity. And let me tell you about one Muslim man who came forward. He sat in the front of the church, didn't want anything to do with God, and saw the altar call, didn't come forward. Then I walked up to him and I said, "What can I do for you? Why are you here?" And he said, I'm here to see the miracles. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" He said, "Sure, why not?" Had his eyes wide open. I knew his Muslim background, laid hands on him. He was hit by the power of God. Then he fell to the ground, could not get up, Sid. And he couldn't. So I got on my knees next to him, and I said, "Get up." He said, "I can't." I said, "Come on, you get up. You're a strong man." I said, "Get up." He said, "I can't." I said, "Let me tell you why. Because God has just showed up in your life. He wants to show you that he is Lord." He said, "Well, what do I do now?" And I said, "Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." And he did in a heartbeat, asked Jesus Christ to come in. So Jesus Christ and his power is the answer for everything that's going on in the world today.
Steve, take me back to Father's Day, 1995. Just describe what happened. You spoke, you weren't even supposed to speak there. You spoke at this service on Father's Day, and when was the first moment you realized it was not going to be a normal service?
Well, Father's Day, Sid, everyone knows they should be normal services, okay? It's just everybody, fathers sitting out there with their little boutonnieres. Everyone's ready to go to lunch, a nice little sermonette. And I stepped off the platform. I asked the people how many wanted prayer. About 1,000 people, 800 to 1,000 wanted prayer. And so I stepped off the platform. And as I did, as these people came forward, I began to touch them, and the power of God came down in stronger than I'd ever felt it, and people were starting to be thrown everywhere by the power, and I knew that something incredible was about to happen. We did not get out till 4 o'clock that afternoon.
Now, the senior pastor, John Kilpatrick, he was hit with the power of God. He wasn't even preaching. And what happened to him?
Well, he let me tell you another secret. I've been telling all the secrets on your program, but he when I said that how many wanted prayer, and then he saw all these people come forward, he mumbled to himself. He said, "Oh my God!" He goes, "We're never going to get out of here."
I mean, it's Father's Day, Mishpocha. Go ahead.
And so so he came over to help me, and when he stepped off the platform, he describes it as a current, almost like a literal river. And you got people listening right now, they're going, "Oh, I've never heard anything like this." It's about time you start hearing things that you've never heard before. Because that's the miraculous is all about the supernatural. It's beyond the natural. And so that's the power of God came down. Within a few moments, he was hit by the power, and he was out under the power for several hours. And we came back. We left out at 4 o'clock that day, came back at 6, stayed till 3, and then it rocked on for 5 years.
But I understand that it was at least a week before he could even put his own shoes on. He was so out under the power.
It was wonderful. And, you know, some of your listeners are going, "Well, what does that have to do with, you know, why would God do that?" I've got the answer for you, my friend. Remember when Saul of Tarsus first got saved? He was totally helpless and useless. You read about it in the book of Acts. Because God wanted to get a hold of him.
They had to lead him around like a blind man, which he was.
He sat in darkness for several days, okay? God wanted to get a hold of the federal headship of this church, John Kilpatrick. He wanted John to know that there was something coming and that God, not John, was in total control.
We're coming into a new season. Steve, has God shown you what we can expect here in America?
Well, I am seeing in this new season that you're speaking of all. First of all, Sid, thank you for speaking on the supernatural, because that is where this is all heading. We are entering a season of miracles. There's going to be miracles, and the end result of the miracles is going to be a harvest of souls unlike we've ever seen. That's why the miracles take place, is to prove to the world, to the United States and around the world, that God is who he says he is. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is here to touch our lives. And so that's what we're about to enter into, a time of miracles and harvest, spiritual harvest.
Now, I had a dream last night, and in this dream, I saw someone that I know casually. I know his name. He's in a wheelchair. He's paralyzed from the waist down. He loves God. When they have dancing in the service, he dances in his wheelchair. And in this dream, I saw him in a bar. And in the bar, he was standing. And I was in that dream, and I said to the people, this man has just had a miracle. And there were really hardened types of people in this bar. And they were, you know, actually, I wasn't afraid, but I should have been afraid. But I wasn't afraid because they didn't want me standing up there and saying, this man has just had a miracle. But, Steve, I believe it was a prophetic dream. I believe that guy is going to get healed, and I'm looking for him right now to pray for him. However, I believe that was a prophetic dream, because it's not going to be in the four walls. We're going to walk with that kind of power into bars and see the lame walk.
Could you imagine? I mean, come on, Sid, you're getting me, you're about to make me go wild, okay, and on your broadcast here, because my goal is for my shadow to heal the sick. I want to walk down the road. Could you imagine getting up in the morning, going out and get your paper in the morning, and there's people lined up and down your sidewalk, and your shadow is being cast over them, and they're jumping up from their ailments and their sicknesses? We've got to get there. We've got to get to the place where miracles are commonplace.
Steve, you've written a book. It's your latest book. It's called Operating in the Miraculous. How did it happen that you wrote this book? What were the circumstances?
Well, I wrote the book because I want more people to be operating in miracles. And it's the church, according to the book of Mark, these signs will follow those who believe. And if you're listening today and you're a believer, you should be working in miracles. And one of the points that I wanted to make sure we get across in this broadcast is I talk here on some of the keys to the operating the miraculous, but I also talk about in this book on why some miracles are delayed or denied. And one of the reasons they're delayed or denied is because God is looking for energy. He wants us to go after him. And a lot of people are like, they want a drive-through miracle. You know, if they don't get their miracle in 5 minutes or less, then they're gonna floor their car and drive out of the, you know, McDonald's, okay? God is looking for people that will go after him with all their heart, soul, and strength.
Can you break that down? What does it mean to you to go after God with all your heart, soul, and strength? What does that mean?
It means to be as blind Bartimaeus. It means to be as a woman with the issue of blood. And for those of you that don't know these stories, Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 5, two individuals that when one said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, kept screaming out, and Jesus was paying him no attention. But finally, he kept going after so strong that Jesus stopped and he got his miracle. The woman with the issue of blood had to fight through the crowd to get to Jesus. And what kind of crowd, listener, are you having to fight through? Your doubts, your fears, maybe family members that don't believe. Fight through all those doubts. I live like that. My life is not a cakewalk. There's constant battles, but I'm not going to let anyone steal what God has for me. And there's much, much more than what I've experienced.
But that's the opposite of instant America.
Yeah.
We want everything instantly.
Well, Sid, that's almost a curse on America. It's almost a curse. I want to encourage you. listener to turn that around and fight for your miracle. Fight for God to do something special in your life. Turn the TV off. Get on your knees in prayer. Walk up to someone that you don't know. Yesterday, Sid, just yesterday, I prayed for a man that I'd never met before. Prayed for his father to be healed of cancer. The man didn't even know me, but he knew that there was power on me. So, yeah, friends, reach out there and let God use you.
Give me one tip from your book on how to walk in the miraculous.
Well, one tip is to anticipate miracles. Anticipate miracles. Just like we anticipate a vacation, we anticipate going to the mall, we anticipate going to a restaurant, anticipate a miracle. That means look forward every day to something supernatural about to happen. And when you live like that, then something is going to come your way because you've been looking for it. That's just one tip in the book.
Well, you look forward to it. Do you actually pray for it? How do you pray in the morning for your day? What do you pray?
Well, I say, Jesus, we have entered into a new day. See, I'm not alone, Sid. And everything that happens to me is Father filtered. And so today, I've never met a stranger because Jesus knows everybody, whether they're a believer or not. So everywhere I go, everyone I walk up to, Jesus knows this person. Jesus has been here before. So my prayer in the morning, I said, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be a pleasing to you, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And then I begin walking the day with Jesus side by side. And he shows me the people need prayer. He shows me the places to talk to folks. Every day is an adventure.
Do you find that the more you operate this way, the more it happens?
Absolutely. It's a practice. And I want to encourage everyone listening, you know, get the book, Operating the Miraculous, start practicing. And remember, if you pray for someone and they don't jump out of the wheelchair, you have not failed. All you've done is practice. You've said, Jesus, this is up to you. And then the next person you pray for may jump up and start running around and pushing the wheelchair.
Listen, take a step. Get the book, Operating the Miraculous, a donation of $18. And be involved in the greatest revival the world has ever seen.